Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. I'm your host, Ashwin, joined by DJ. Varun is traveling this week, so he's not able to join us. It's funny, it's been a little bit of a quiet-ish week in the world of cricket, DJ, and still we have so much to talk about. But how are you feeling? We went from the end of the T20 World Cup, which of course we talked about extensively, which I hope to never have to talk about again, to the start of the FIFA World Cup that's happening. And it feels like it's just been a little bit busy. So how have you been doing?
Yeah, it's I'm feeling pretty good today. It was a New Zealand versus India game today, so I'm sure we'll talk about that. We had a bizarre start to the World Cup in Qatar with that goal being ruled offside. But yeah, it's there seem to be some pretty meaningless cricket ongoing at the moment. 5 days after the World Cup ended, India's playing again. England and Australia are playing some ODI cricket in Australia, where I think the England players are still getting over some of their hangovers from partying too much after the World Cup. I don't know. The circus goes on, right? It doesn't end.
Yeah, but talk to me about that, like, meaninglessness of this cricket, right? Like, Moeen Ali, I think it was, seemed pretty upset publicly in the media that 4 or 5 days after winning a World Cup, they're now just back to playing 50-over cricket. Is it necessary? Should we be giving, like, you know, should we be giving our players some time off? Like, get time with your families, recoup. I mean, in Team India's case, we'll talk selection, and many of the bigger players have gotten that. But do we really need this much cricket?
It's ridiculous, right? Like, we've talked about this even after the last World Cup, 3 days after, I think, New Zealand were in India playing cricket again after the 2021 World Cup. The circus just goes on, and we cover Indian cricket, right? And there are times that sometimes we are also like, maybe we need a break. But India's playing every single week. And England are in Australia, and I'm guessing the administrators are okay, like, they're there. Why don't we, like, milk them for another couple of games while they're on the other side of the world? I mean, the audience hasn't really attended. I think there were like 15,000 people in the game that England played Australia, which had a magnificent piece of fielding by Ashton Agar. The problem with so much cricket, Ashwin, and I was thinking about this today, is you can't appreciate the magnificent moments, the magnificent innings as much. Like, Sky has played, for many players, a once-in-a-lifetime innings today. But it's just like one of the things that you're just going to be like, okay, that was just an innings. Ashton Agar pulls out a fantastic piece of fielding. You don't get the time to savor these moments anymore because the hamster wheel of cricket rolls on, and it's the next thing happens, and this news cycle moves as quickly as anything. Donald Trump is back on Twitter. Everything's happening.
Just nonstop. Just never-ending news cycle. But I think, you know, you've hit on a few interesting things, and we're going to talk about Sky's blinder and India's, you know, for some reason, inability to win in World Cups, but phenomenal ability to win in the bilaterals. Like, we are the champions of bilateral series, apparently. But before we talk about the specifics of the innings and the match, obviously the first T20 in New Zealand got rained out, which was, again, a little bit disappointing, but probably a little bit of a break for everybody, like we said. Before we get to it, I want to talk about team selection, the playing 11, but a little bit more broadly, a lot happening in the world of kind of selection as a whole. So first off, DJ, it seems like India has basically, the BCCI has sacked the entire set of selectors. Two questions for you. One, overall response and thoughts. Two, do you think we should go apply? Should we do it?
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, just become selectors for TV.
Yeah, they've been taking all our ideas, right? Panth is opening in T20 cricket. Varun said Panth will play like a couple of games in this T20.
But Varun has also said some.
Oh, yeah, we must address this, because we got some excellent feedback from our listeners in the last episode. And it shows how closely people listen to this, right? Like, we were talking about our team's future T20 lineup, and we were talking about, like, who should open. And I said Kishan / Panth plus Virat Kohli should be opening. I think you picked Huda and Kishan as your openers. Varun picked DDP and Ruthu. And we've got a lot of tweets.
So much.
And so, we've actually just had to kick him off the podcast because that was such a bad take. So until he gives us a public apology, he's not going to be let back on. But as you said, we should be applying for that post, right? I mean, it can't be that hard a job. We've been pretty much doing it on this show for the last four years.
Basically do it, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but talk to me about the decision actually to get rid of the selectors coming out of what was clearly an underperformance in the World Cup. And, you know, Hardik Pandya is now captaining the white ball team in the series against New Zealand. I think we all said he was auditioning for the full-time role of T20 captain in the semifinal. But yeah, what's the take on this? Have we seen the last of Rohit now in T20 eye colors?
It's a tough question, right? Like, five-time IPL champion is the one I keep bringing up. But I forgot that Mumbai finished last in the last IPL. They were bottom of a 10-team table.
Abysmal. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't the best time for our man to be captaining. Honestly, my take is it's a natural progression. You've seen the players that came out today. It was a different generation of cricketers that were playing. There were not those many players over 30. It's a graceful way to for Rohit to bow out almost, I'd say. Let him play ODI cricket. He's still one of the best white ball cricketers. He's out of form. T20 cricket isn't usually the best place to regain your form. So unless he has a magnificent IPL, I think, in 2023, why not just focus on ODI cricket and test cricket and enjoy the next 5-6 years in those two formats? And that's the other thing. We need to segregate players by format. I don't think many players should be playing three formats. You should be playing two formats at best. Whether that's test and ODI or ODI and white ball, I think the skill gap, and there was somebody had a take today on Sky playing test cricket and it's being too much to waste his talent. I don't know. Let him play ODI cricket and white ball cricket. He's fantastic at it. Why mess around with his game? You've seen what happened to Rahul, right? Great at test cricket, but can't play T20 cricket suddenly. He's kind of stuck in that limbo. But yeah, sacking the entire selectoral committee, heads had to roll, and they have. So yeah, we may see Rohit off. We've seen the selectors gone. Interesting times for Indian cricket, particularly on the white ball front, plus captaincy. They brought Rohit in as T20 captain, then gave him ODI captaincy against Virat's
wishes. Because we must have the same white ball captain. That was all of it, right? That was the entire message. Exactly. We must have the same.
The whole year we spent last year was like, you can't split the white ball captaincy. And Virat did not want to give up ODI captaincy. Let's not forget that.
Didn't. I feel like, not to toot my own horn, but I've been saying for a long time, our most fundamental problem in how we play T20 cricket is that we think about it as a shorter version of ODI cricket, right? We take our ODI side and we cut it, trim and streamline a little, and the captaincy discussion and must have white ball captain is one example of that. And now we're suddenly, after losing another World Cup, realizing, okay, it's not just a, 40-60% shorter version of ODI cricket. It is a different, unique format.
So, Ashwin, we've just got a comment in which says you have to have played these many games to have become a selector. So clearly we don't. International minimum test matches or 30 first class matches or 10 ODI or 20 first class matches. So clearly we are not qualified. So I think we'll just keep our job as podcasters. So thank you, Tropical Eskimos, for that comment.
I mean, I'm going to keep dreaming. Let's hope we can potentially do it. But all right, DJ, lots to cover. Let's talk about India, New Zealand, right? Let's start with selection, right? I'm going to run down the 11 that got selected and a couple of kind of question marks that we're seeing, and I'm seeing some come in the comments for those who are live on YouTube as well. Hardik captain, right? No question on Sky. I would say, no question on Sky. And so let's go down the rest of it, right? Interesting to see Kishan and Pant both opening. Are they arguably fighting for the same spot, right? We've talked about lefties. In theory, on paper, big hitters. Pant didn't have his best day. And so Sky at 3, which is another interesting debate where, in the spirit of having your best players play the most balls, Sky at 3, I'm supportive of. They then played Shreyas Iyer, Pandya, and Huda to round out the batting. Then Washington Sundar was that number 8 slot. And then you played Bhuvi, Arshdeep, Siraj, and Chahal made his way back in. So obviously, as for those watching on YouTube, the first comment we're seeing is from Amit Dubey: how many more chances does Pant need in T20 eyes? And why can't Sanju get a look in? I think you have an interesting point, DJ, on play one format, maybe two. And Rishabh Pant arguably is a test match player first now. So what are your thoughts on playing Ishan Kishan and Rishabh Pant over Samson? And obviously Pant having a horrendous day at the office.
So I think they're both probably at this point auditioning for the same spot. And we had an interesting question in from Amit about whether Samsung should be playing. We've just seen Sumit come out and say, have you seen enough of Pant? I mean, on this show, the Rishabh Pant show, we've never seen enough of Rishabh Pant, right? But the truth of the matter is, Pant hasn't done well in T20 cricket. So, but it's a reset. We're saying that we want to give these young guys a chance. We want to give them a chance at the top of the order. I've always maintained Rishabh Pant should be opening the batting. These two guys, interestingly, opened the batting at the under-19 World Cup level. They have opened the batting together before. Two lefties opening the batting for India, but at the under-19 level, where Kishan was actually captain of that team. I think Samson will get a look-in soon. I mean, he's too good a player not to get that look-in. He's one of the IPL captains, and we seem to keep forgetting that. Everybody else in the IPL who captains a team is almost a sure shot in this format, right?
That, I guess, except Shreyas, who's not captaining anymore.
No, he's KKR captain, right?
Yeah, I guess he is now.
But DK was captain of KKR as well, and he wasn't a sure shot. But most IPL captains get a look in fairly straightforward. And the way we think about it is like we...
Mayank is gone now. Since been dropped, which is a discussion for the second half of the show. I knew there was one more that I was doing.
Anyway, Samsung should be given a shot at opening the batting. We need to reset, right? That's what we spoke about in the last show. I think these two lefties are auditioning for one shot, but left-hand, right-hand combination is super powerful. We've seen that over the years. I think the last time two lefties opened for India was Gautam Gambhir and Irfan Pathan in 2012 in T20. So we don't actually have those two lefties. It's not a thing we do very often. So I think Samson will come in to open the batting in one of the, maybe the next game.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Not a lot to add on the batting. I was refreshed and I want to talk a little bit later about Hardik's comment. And it looks like we played Huda, who ended up picking four, almost got a hat-trick. Washington Sundar, and Hardik made a specific point to say, we need more batters who can chip in with the ball, which I think is a very interesting sign for potentially our next captain's mindset going into this and what we've talked a lot on the show, right? There's no room for seven basically pure batsmen, including one keeper, or just call it six and five bowlers, or six and one just reliant on Jadeja, etc. You need to have batters who can bowl.
But we've seen for years, we've tried this specialist cricket, T20 cricketer approach, and it's not work. We've lost everything. And England have like six players who can bowl and eight players who can bowl and bat. They bat till 11. Adil Rashid has 10 first class 100s. He bats 10. The West Indies had that format as well. So it's not worked. So if it's not working, we need to change it. And I think Pandya's attitude shows that, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. We've never had batting down to 11, but we have had batsmen. Our top order has included Sachin, who used to bowl full spells at some points in ODIs, Sehwag, who could bowl, Dada, who would bowl, Yuvraj, Raina, like all of these guys are specialist batsmen in the team who can give you a bowling option. But that's a discussion for another day. DJ, let's quickly talk about the bowling selection, right? I'd say for me, pretty happy to see Huda come in and get a ball. Pretty happy to see Sundar coming back in. Obviously, he didn't do well with the bat today, had a reasonable spell with the ball. But Bhuvi, and I see the comment you've put on there, Bhuvi and Siraj in particular, overpicking somebody like an Umran or trying some of our younger blood. What is your take on that?
I don't know why. I was watching Bhuvi. He bowled well, right? He bowled well. That's not me. And he bowled okay in the World Cup as well. But is he the future? Is he going to play for you in 2024? Why aren't we playing Deepak Chahar? I think Chahar is part of this squad, right? If I'm not wrong. And Deepak Chahar? I'm sure the comments will tell us if he isn't. But, I mean, Umran, the whole chat has been, we need extreme pace, we need an X factor. We saw what Naseem and Haris and Shaheen and these guys did, and they made it to the World Cup final, albeit with a bit of luck. But it's that differentiating factor, right? And this is when you try it. It's a completely meaningless series. Why aren't we experimenting? And it needs to be out with the old, in with the new. Bhuvi's played a lot of cricket. What is he doing playing another bilateral T20 cricket 5 days after the World Cup's ended? Pointless.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question. I do what is interesting and is going to make for some feedback, comments, etc. over a while. It said India ended up getting to a huge win. So DJ, unfortunately for me, games are at 1 a.m. my time, very, very difficult to watch. So I didn't get a chance to watch it live again. But India puts up 191 for 6, ends up dismissing New Zealand all out for 126, including Hooda getting 3 wickets in his last 4 balls to clean up the tail. Kane Williamson made a 50 at about a runner ball. Basically, the entire rest of the team, the lineup on both sides, basically batted it just on probably around about a runner ball. And so this entire match was a one-man show. And of course, we've mentioned it already. You know we're talking about Suryakumar Yadav. What is happening with Sky? He's on a different planet right now, right?
And it's such a shame that he had his off day in the last year on that semi-final day, right? And it was bound to happen. It's the law of averages. But I think Kohli came up with a tweet saying it was another video game type of innings by Sky. What Kohli forgot to say is that he'd actually worked out the cheat code for the video game.
But that was a pretty big flex from Kohli in the tweet to where he said, I didn't get to watch it, but I'm sure it was a video game type of innings from Sky. Why didn't Kohli watch the innings? Come on.
I don't know. I think he's on holiday somewhere, or maybe he probably deserves some time off. He was a top scorer of the World Cup.
That's true. He's earned it.
It's like, you know, when you used to, in Cricket 97, put the low gravity mode on.
1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3,
mindset, and it's that intent that we were hoping that the Indian team had really inculcated, and it was in their bloodstream. But he plays all over the ground, right? But he worked out that the dimensions of his ground meant he could hit over cover, and he could hit over his, basically that flick or the lap that he plays over his head. And that's pretty much where most of his runs came. If you look at his wagon wheel, it wasn't kind of 360 like you expect it to be. There was a lot through cover, and there was a lot like lapped over the head. And it was brilliant. He just took Lockie Ferguson apart. There was one shot in particular which looked a little bit lazy, but he kind of just stood there and opened the face over third man. And it was a man in complete mastery of his game. I actually thought he had an outside shot of being captain of this team, if they didn't want to give it to Pandya, because he's a little bit older. He's 32. He's got a few more years. He's in the form of his life. Maybe they didn't want to burden him with that responsibility. But he is the number one T20 batter in the world. And
yeah, by some distance, yeah. Arguably. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And we're talking about the rest of them scoring at a run of ball. It's ridiculous. Even someone like Williamson, who's like, it's his home conditions. He should know how to bat. And he scored like a run of ball. Everybody else, Pandya was a run of ball. It was, it was superlative. And a second T20 I-100 in the same year. The first one he played was against England in the last T20, I think. And we lost that game. This time it wasn't a win. It was just breathtaking, man. Breathtaking batting. Just, he loves extreme pace as well. And it's so exciting. He took the South Africans apart in Perth, and he did the same thing with Lockie today, and it was just brilliant. Lockie ki sabzi.
Lockie ki sabzi. Yeah, I mean, well, really well said. Phenomenal to see. Lockie Ferguson went for 12 runs and over. And again, in a match where nobody else could score well. 191 arguably would have been 210-ish if Sky had gotten any striking that last over. But Tim Southee picks up a very meaningless hat-trick in the last over of the innings to get meaningful only in that it kept Surya Kumar Yadav off strike. So a good win for Team India. DJ, not a lot to add. I would love to take a quick break, come back. Oh, what are you going to say?
Yuzi.
You want to talk about
Yuzi? He showed the difference, right? Like when they were going, Glenn Phillips, who got him? Imagine him having played in that.
He has the ability to take a wicket.
Imagine him playing in that semi-final and Hales and Butler are going great guns, and Yuzi comes in and things could have been different, but we didn't play him. So proved a point there as well, our boy.
Yeah, I will also just add there on that note, Deepak Hooda, right? He did, yeah, okay, last over, three tail-enders, but he also did pick up Daryl Mitchell, who's been a threat. And so great to see him bat. He didn't bat well today, but he can bat well, we know, and contribute with the ball.
And Saudi hat-trick as well.
Those
were junk wickets, right, in the last over.
Yeah,
it still counts, I guess.
Anyway, DJ, India, New Zealand's going on. I don't even know how many more matches we have. I think it's one more T20 and then
three ODIs. Yeah.
Just seems like it's a lot of cricket going on. But We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening on the other side of the world with IPL retentions and some interesting releases. So don't go anywhere. This is the Edison Sledges Cricket Podcast. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI, we've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
Welcome back to the Edison Sledges Cricket Podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, we haven't gone anywhere, but thanks for sticking with us. DJ, T20 season just never seems to end. World Cup wrapped up, selectors are changing as we talked. India's playing New Zealand now, and the IPL deadline had hit for releases and retentions before the auction, the mini auction that is in just over a month from the day of us recording this, which will be on December 23rd. There's a lot happened. I'll just quickly run down team by team, and I'll kind of talk through who they released or some of the notable names that were released, and you know how you're kind of feeling about the teams going into the auctions. So, you know, the headlines are there's a kind of three or four really big names that were either will not be playing next year. Kyron Pollard not retiring from the format or from cricket in general, but is retiring from IPL. I think they basically came to terms with the Mumbai Indians and said he's not going to play anymore. And he said he didn't want to play for another franchise. And so he's now the batting coach. So that's a big change. Wayne Bravo will not play for CSK. And then a couple more interesting ones. The Sunrisers seem to have decided they want to gut the team. And Kane Williamson didn't do himself any favors by batting again at a run of ball, unfortunately, this match. And Mayank Agarwal, previously captain of the Punjab Kings, has been released. So let's go through them team by team. Those were just the headlines. DJ, we'll start with the Mumbai Indians, not because I have any particular passion for them or I'm going in any specific order. But
start from the bottom of the table last year.
Let's go with that. Yeah, let's go with that. They made some pretty big changes, right? The biggest one I mentioned being Kyron Pollard. And then they seem like they've changed a lot of their Indian core. So Basil Thumpi has lost his contract. Mayank Markande, Murugan Ashwin, the two spinners, and then a couple of the overseas players in Fabian Allen, Riley Meredith, Tymal Mills. So it's interesting. They only have three overseas slots left. They've chosen to persist with a lot of the core, being Rohit, of course, Sky and Kishan and Bumrah and Jofra and some of those names. But I guess the big question on Kyron Pollard, was his time just up and it was time to go a different direction?
Yeah, I think he didn't have a great IPL last year. He was retired from international cricket, I think, as well. And if you're not contributing, and you saw, I think he was dropped for a part of the season last year as well. And that's shocking. I mean, coming from something like Polly being one of the pillars of that Mumbai Indian team with his bowling and his batting and his fielding. So kind of sad end, but he's still involved, right, with the Mumbai Indians as a batting coach. I think he's one of the inspirational figures, and it wouldn't have made sense for him to try and prolong his IPL career. So, I mean, obviously we wish him well. He's been an iconic player in the IPL, not just for the Mumbai Indians. He's like lit it up at times, done some miraculous things. So, yeah, wish him well. It's nice to see that there's some loyalty that's being rewarded by giving him a coaching job at the MI.
Will Daniel Sams get another oversized contract from some team again this year?
Didn't Delhi release Shardul? So we must be wanting a fast bowling all-rounder soon.
You know he's played for us before, right?
Dude, of course. We played in the playoffs. It was Ricky's obsession with these Australian all-rounders. He played in the playoffs against Mumbai and got thrashed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then Mumbai bought him. All right. And then released him. Hey, we're going to keep going because there's a lot of teams and I want to make sure we cover them all. The team, I am going in reverse order with Chennai next, who finished ninth. The big one obviously being Dwayne Bravo, right? So MS Dhoni will continue to play and captain the side. Dwayne Bravo, interestingly, he was released last year too, if you remember, but then bought back at the auction buy CSK.
They might try that.
So maybe they're releasing him again and just buy him, see if they can save some money from the purse. A couple other ones, Chris Jordan, despite being a World Cup winner and, you know, most very recently is being dropped. And then Adam Milne from New Zealand and Robin Othappa. Othappa didn't have a bad IPL, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was okay.
But at two crores, he's a little bit of an expensive buy in the purse for somebody who doesn't really play the rest of the year. Thoughts on that? Again, Chennai looks like they want to, nothing dramatic. Seems like they mostly want to stay pretty solid.
Yeah, they've kept Raidu on. I guess they might try and get, because Bravo, unless they try and get him back, they might look for an ex-CSK player, someone like a Sam Curran, to bowl those four overs at the end.
Sam Curran is going to get the biggest bid.
Yeah, can you imagine? Right? All because Dhoni decided that he's going to open the batting and the bowling. What a great pick for fantasy stuff. But yeah, I mean, for them, Chennai, remember, it's going back to home grounds. So Chennai will be preparing its spinning tracks and bowling those spinners kind of 12 overs out of the eight. Deepak Chahar will be back as well. So I suspect Chennai will be a force to reckon with again this year. They had a pretty poor year last year, despite being defending champs. But yeah, I don't think there's been... I mean, those releases are probably fairly expected. They're trying to save a bit of money on their death bowling. And if not, they'll free up some cash to get ex-CSK guy back. Sammy?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting. Chennai's strength has always been really sticking to their core. And I think not totally surprised to see that. Right. Let's excuse me, switch gears and go to the Gujarat Titans, defending champions. Not a ton to talk about here because they've mostly kept the team very similar. And why wouldn't you after coming off of a win? But two big transfers, Lachie Ferguson and Rahmanullah Gurbaz, who was my pick for Afghanistan's dark horse that didn't really come good. But they've both been transferred. And of course, we're getting some tweets about Lachie or some comments about Lachie. But interesting that Lachie is going back to the KKR team and that Gujarat would have let him go after being a season winner. But he was 10 crore. And so if you're Gujarat, you've now freed up 10 crore in your purse and would go for a couple of big names, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I think Gujarat have their core. They've got their Millers, they've got their Pandyas, they've got their Shamis. So maybe they don't need Lachie extreme pace this time around. I don't know what their pitches are going to look like. Maybe they'll try and go and get some. I mean, fast bowlers pretty much go for a bit of a premium generally. So maybe they'll try and get, because last year was the mega auction, so they may have overpaid a little bit for Lachie, part of the bidding. So maybe they'll try and go and get him back. Just one side note, I went to the Gujarat Titans office in Mumbai when I was there a couple of weeks ago. So that was very cool. I met with Nishad, who's been on the show. He works with the Gujarat Titans. He's also released his new book called Limitless, which I'm currently reading, which is about the T20 World Cup triumph in 2007. So just a little plug for our friend Nishad there.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah, I agree on fast bowlers. I think that the theme we're seeing so far with the IPL retentions is largely either guys who are aging out and no longer having a role, obviously, or basically players who were a good part of the team, but just overpaid, right? Just probably felt like they were a little overvalued and saying, hey, if we can release the 10, 11 crore guys and get them back for 6 to 8 even, that's significant.
One quick one on CSK. Jaddu, there was speculation that he's going to be released. He's been kept on, and I think...
Oh, that was
It was weird, right? What went on there, do you think? Because apparently MS had to intervene in that to make sure that he stayed.
Yeah, I'm assuming Jadeja thinks he can be a... Not thinks, Jadeja rightly probably believes he can be a skipper somewhere, right?
Oh, like he's become an important enough player.
And so I'm assuming there was a discussion, debate, and probably had to come to some sort of agreement with CSK, being like, hey, if this is Dhoni's last year, then they'll play together this year and Jadeja picks up on the franchise the following year, something like that. And this is
my... I'd totally forgotten that he was captain last year, then he handed it back to MS and stuff. Wow. Okay. I'd forgotten that. Nice.
So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Right. Let's talk about our team, DJ, the Delhi Capitals. For anybody who's newer to this show, no, it's not that we don't love every IPL team, but we have a slight loyalty to the Delhi team. Again, not a big set of changes, right? Just missing the playoffs last year. But the big one being Shardul Thakur, right? Which we've talked, which I don't think he was necessarily a bad player. But I think at 10.75 crore at this point, Delhi seems like he's a little overvalued. So wouldn't be surprised if they... I guess, no, they traded him, right, to KKR. So he's not available in the auction. So KKR has picked him up, which means but Delhi has a purse of 19.5 crores, of which 10.75 came basically from the KKR trade. So surprised by that? Disappointed by that? I know you're a huge fan. Oh,
huge fan of Shardul, the batter. No, I don't know. I mean, I think he lent a little bit of balance to the team. But you're right, he's expensive. So I don't know whether we'd be looking for someone similar to him. I know we have... who's the West Indian all-rounder that we have? Is it Romario Shepherd or is it someone...
Rahman Powell,
yeah. So I think he's going to play a lot. But you still probably need one all-rounder who's an Indian domestic player. And Shardul was that kind of marquee player. So I'll be interested to see how we fill that hole, because Akshar will do it with the spin bowling. But it's a tough role to fill. Shardul can bat despite jokes about his batting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who they come up with, and or if they have their eyes on any other.
Maybe Sam Curran could be. I mean, imagine Sam Curran coming to Delhi. How beautifully would that balance things out? But you'd have Warner, Curran, Powell, and maybe one more overseas to worry about. Nokia.
But then we have to.
That would be four.
But then we have to cheer for Sam Curran, which is my
big one. It's okay.
So.
Trophy chahiye.
It was hard enough. I've over the years had to get used to cheering for obviously Ricky and then Steve Smith for a little bit. And then, yeah, it's already been a lot to deal with. So I don't know if I want to cheer for Sam Curran. But let's keep it going, DJ. Lucknow Super Giants. They made the playoffs last year. They, the biggest name they freed up is Jason Holder. I think similarly, valuable player. Important player and could get another good deal from somebody, but 8.75 crores was a big one. Manish Pandey, personally, is a little disappointed. 4.5 crores, 4.6, but again, at 4.6 feels like the right thing to release, right? For an Indian batsman who there are plenty of, and he obviously hasn't been in great form. Evan Lewis, 2 crore. Dushmanta Chamira, 2 crore. Andrew Tai, 1 crore. So they have one of the bigger purses, the second biggest, I think, 23.35 crore. Who is KL Rahul going to be kind of going for? You know, is it, again, potentially Sam Curran as you think about the Holder replacement? Is it Ben Stokes if he ends up putting his name in? Is it Cameron Green, who I think we now know is putting his name in the auction? It'll be interesting to see how Lucknow does having released this many overseas players.
Yeah, and what did you say that kitty was? Pretty big?
23.35. Most teams have about 18 to 19 so far. So it's not. Yeah. Delhi has 19 and change. Gujarat. Sorry about that. Yeah, 23.35. Delhi has 19 and change. Yeah. Gujarat has 19 and change. Chennai has 20 and change.
Oh, Nishad's just said hello, by the way.
I wonder if he was just listening all through or somebody messaged him that you were giving
a shout. Yeah, we just plugged your book, Nishad Limitless. So, timely appearance in the comments. Anyway, sorry. 23.3, they will go for the all-rounders. They need to plug that hole. Andrew Tai is an interesting release as well, but I mean, they do have a few overseas that they tend to play, right? So, I didn't think Tai got many games last year, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Quinton de Kock is a shoe-in. Marcus Stoinis is a shoe-in. And then you start going to Mark Wood if he's fit. And I guess they do have some room. Those are really the only three confirmed, I think, overseas players.
So maybe they're trying to get some of these players back at lower prices. That's part of this whole release and retention thing, because a lot of teams have already built their core, right? They don't need to change around that much. So they're not looking for players.
Yeah, absolutely right. Okay, let's talk about the Rajasthan Royals. One of the smaller purses, despite the fact that they released 9 players, but they had a ton of overseas players who basically didn't play last year, right? So let me just run through the list of releases really quick. They're out of Daryl Mitchell, 75 lakh. Jimmy Neesham, 1.5 crore. Nathan Coulternail, 2 crore. Rassie van der Dusen, 1 crore. So 4 big overseas players. And then Karun Nair, 1.4 crore. I don't remember him playing or doing much last year. So interesting. They still only have a purse of 13. So I'd say, again, very similar core under the leadership of Samson, with Jaiswal and Butler and DDP and then Ashwin and Chahal. And so I don't expect a ton of changes. But interesting to see they've released 4 or 5 big overseas guys, right? Neesham, Rassi, Coulternail should all get picked up.
Yeah, but they're all kind of second tier-ish. Like for Jimmy Neesham, for example, has never done anything in the IPL, right? He would be a nice replacement for someone like a Jason Holder, right? Or a Shardul Thakur at Delhi, if we want another overseas or quick bowling all-rounder who can bowl seam and hits big, right? I think they're pretty settled. What is interesting was the speculation around Ashwin being released, which I thought very weird because he had a great season last year. He just played the World Cup for India off the back of that season. So,
yeah, I wonder if the same question, whether he thinks he can get, like, does he want to be bowling with Chahal or does he want to see if he can be the lead spinner somewhere and play a more active role with the bat? Anyway, it's interesting. Yeah. All right, four teams to go. We're running a little over where I thought we'd be on time. So I'm going to race through these. So first one, Sunrisers Hyderabad. The biggest.
They're having a reset. They've released. Right?
They, yeah, and I mean, rightly so, right? They had a decent start. I mean, they'd lost two games, I think, and then they won five in a row, and then they just absolutely finished third from the bottom. Biggest one, Kane Williamson. So I think that means at the moment they don't have a skipper announced yet.
Yeah.
But 14 crore for Kane Williamson, 10.75 crore for Nicholas Buron. Romario Shepherd, 7.75 crore. Sean Abbott, 2.4. And then a few Indian guys like Priyam Garg for 20. Shreyas Gopal, 75. So lakhs. So it's interesting to see 42 crores. And they still have a reasonable core, if you will, with Aidan Markram, Rahul Tripathi, Marco Jansen, Washington Sundar, Bhuvaneshwar Kumar, Natarajan, and Umran Malik.
That's not
so
bad,
not
yeah.
bad lower order. They need some big batsmen. They need some big hitters. And they need.
But it just shows how badly they did at the mega auction, right? That have to release 42 crores out of what is it, 90 crores that you have in your kitty?
Yeah, it's really.
They just had an appalling auction last time around, and this is an admission of that. And your core is not bad, as you say. They've released some interesting players that will get a look from other players. Shreyas Gopal might not be a bad shout for someone like a Mumbai, who don't have a great spinner. Shreyas Gopal may not be a bad shout for someone like a Delhi, who want to look at someone who can bat, because Shreyas can bat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he used to be pretty handy batter. He's had a lot rough last couple of seasons.
Yeah, Priyam Garg might find a buyer alongside someone like a Manish Pandey. Those two will be the kind of prime Indian batters going around, I guess.
Did you just call Manish Pandey a prime
Indian
batter? Well,
Priyam is also 20 lakhs, I think. And I just put the 20 lakhs Manish guy and a 4.5 crore guy in the same category. Right. So you should... no offense, obviously, but... experience, right? Manish, we should always remember he scored the first 100 by an Indian player in the IPL. So I'd tip to that.
Yeah, well said. All right, RCB. Not a lot to write home about. I think nobody really marquee who played a lot of the games last season was released. They're releasing Jason Behrendorf for 75, Sherfane Rutherford for a crore, and a couple of Indian guys. So not a ton to say. I think they have 8.75 crores in the kitty. They'll probably pick up one player, one marquee player. So not much to say about RCB. They've chosen, having made the playoffs, they've chosen to stick to the formula.
Who's their captain now? Kohli stopped.
Faf, right?
Faf is their captain. I'd forgotten. Yeah. But I mean, I saw a lovely montage of Kohli and ABD the other day on Twitter. It was pretty emotional.
There just seemed to be so many of them.
It's so nice. It was really nice. I do miss those days. But I'm showing my age, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. DJ, second largest purse is the Punjab Kings, right? They need... they needed to change something up. I think they didn't make the final four again. They have released their skipper, Mayank, who's going to be interesting to see how he does at the auction. He was 14 crores last year, and Shikhar has become the skipper. I'm pretty sure that's official. And so 14 for Mayank, 6 crores for Odean Smith, and then a couple of smaller ones, Vaibhav Arora, 2 crores, Ishan Porel, who might get picked up, Sandeep Sharma, 50 lakhs. And so they have 32.2 crores. Under the leadership of Shikhar, they look like a reasonably balanced bowling side, if you ask me. It's a look at Arshdeep, Gagiso Rabada, Rahul Chahar. They look pretty solid. But from a batting standpoint, they clearly need somebody in that middle order. They need an opener, I think, and they need somebody more stable in the middle order. Yeah, so 32 crores.
Do you think Manish is going to Punjab?
I think it'd be silly unless they try to buy back Mayank Chaahar.
But then you can't. He won't go back, right? Because he was captain. He's been removed. They haven't retained him. They've announced.
It feels silly to release Mayank and pick up.
But they've announced Shikhar as the captain. So if they wanted to buy back Mayank at a lower price, they wouldn't have announced Shikhar as captain.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So I think again an admission that their auction strategy wasn't on point. Mayank really did struggle last year, I think, as captain. I don't think he got a whole lot of runs either. So, we'll see.
I mean, I think the only other, they're probably going to rely more or need Bairstow and Livingston to show up more with the bat, right? Like, that's a solid core if you think about the top three being Shikhar, Bairstow, and Liam Livingston.
It's pretty incredible. I think Livingston bats a bit lower down the order, though. So, but Bairstow and Shikhar are pretty formidable, right? I think they must have opened for Sunrisers back in the day. Pretty sure they must have.
Yeah, they did, for sure. Well, no, because Shikhar was opening with Warner.
Oh, Shikhar may have moved to Delhi by then. Shikhar's played for a lot of teams.
It shows you to the point you made earlier in the first half. The IPL is all a blur, or cricket is all a blur with all the years. Right, last team, DJ.
There's still one left.
The smallest purse. Varun's KKR.
Most hated team to go last.
Well, they have the smallest purse because they've already acquired Shardul, Lockie, and Ramanul Gurbaz, as we said. So they only have 7 crore left. A couple of interesting ones with Pat Cummins announcing he's not going to play. So that's 7 crores freed up. Shreyas Iyer obviously being skipper. They've released Sam Billings.
I think Hales as well was in their squad but isn't playing, right? Alex Hales?
Alex Hales, Aaron Finch.
That's a bit of a miss, right?
Mohammad Nabi, Chamika Karunaratne. They've released a lot. And because they've acquired two overseas already, they only have two overseas slots left. But only 7 crores. So it feels like they're pretty set. They're going to pick up a couple of
backups or someone like that. Backup to... Yeah. He'd be quite a nice backup to Pat Cummins, right? Because he won't be as expensive and he'll probably go for the same number of runs in his four overs. So, like 12 runs an over, that sort of stuff.
That's exactly it. Perfect. Right. DJ, we have some more time before the IPL, but it's been a lot of fun to kind of, every time I think about or talk about auction stuff, I get excited. I'll be with Varun this year in December when the auction is happening. So maybe we'll engage live. Well, there's a good comment for those of you watching on YouTube for us to wrap up, but they should have one IPL team for all the legends. Polly and Bravo to lead. We should call it Nostalgia 11. That's from Gaurav. Thank you for sending that comment in. DJ, as always, it's been a pleasure. Surya Kumar Yadav doing Surya Kumar Yadav things. The FIFA World Cup has kicked off, so I feel like conversation will be soccer for the next few weeks, and then we get kind of back into it. So thank you all for joining. If you are on YouTube, make sure you hit that like button, subscribe to our channel. It always helps us grow. If you are listening to us as a podcast, we are at One Tip One Hand on all the social medias. We have a Discord page that's very active. You can find the link to that in our Twitter, and we'll be back next week. This has been the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. Thank you for joining us.